want to kick it off with Greece. You know, you tremendous amount of turmoil happening in Greece right now, in all of Europe, actually, as it relates to Greek debt. And this has been an issue that has been persistent over the course of the last 6 months. A big curveball thrown over the course of the last 48 hours was the idea that, or last 72 hours, that the Prime Minister, Papandreou, was going to hold a referendum on this question of whether or not austerity measures were going to be adopted by the Greek people. You know, as you would expect, the rest of Europe flipped out. You know, they basically said, look, you know, if you don't, you know, keep your promise and try to get these austerity measures through your parliament and get this thing done, we're going to stop funding your debt crisis, and you are going to be out of luck come December 19th. You're going to be gone. You're going to be blown out of the water. Earlier today, another announcement that Papandreou was going to back off of that, and I wanted to make sure that we had a real deep discussion about that. And a person that knows quite a bit about this matter, because he deals with financial markets every day, is Brian Kilb from Landis & Company, the Chief Operating Officer at Landis & Company. Brian joins us. Brian, welcome to News Talk 1130 WISN.
Ted, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Well, you know, another surprise from Papandreou. Apparently now he's going to back off of his claim that he's going to hold this referendum.
Well, he may also be backing off of his job as a result of it.
Right.
You know, it sounds like he's in trouble. But the minority party seems to have come full circle and seems to want to help. And maybe that's what forced the issue. You know, politics, who knows? You know?
Yeah, right, exactly. Now, so what this ends up being, in my view, is a political issue in Greece that's about the ruling party and how this coalition government is going to piece together, as much as it's about whether or not the Europeans are going to be in a position to be made partially whole on some of their debt obligations. Can you walk us through the last couple of weeks as it relates to where the Greek debt situation is with the $300 billion in debt, and then also how that what are the implications as it relates to the Greek people and how they have to react to that?
Sure. Let's kind of work backward a little bit and talk in maybe two major components. And, you know, the part that people seem to want to talk less about, which is maybe the most important part of it, Ted, is the structural elements, which is they're spending more money than they're bringing in. And what you're seeing today in terms of financing issues, you know, how do we get the liquidity to keep the country going through December 19th when other debt becomes due? That's a whole separate kind of branch of problems and a whole separate amount of fear and anxiety, perhaps. But underlying all this is the fact that for 32 of the last 33 years, Greece has run a deficit. And what Papandreou has been unable to do is march the country in a direction which will rectify those deficits. You know, they've done some of the soft things. They've talked about raising taxes, but they haven't hit the hardcore issues, which, you know, if a third of the country is working, is publicly employed, and that's where a lot of the money is spent, they're obviously going to have to make some long-term changes there to get this thing back in balance. Then in the meantime, you have all the financing issues, you know, and the major fear that isn't so much, Ted, that, you know, what happens if Greece goes, although there are certainly implications there, but what happens if Greece goes and it takes Italy and Portugal down? And what if Italy and Portugal take Spain and France and Spain take down Germany, and the dominoes really begin to fly? So I kind of have a tendency to look at those two components of it as very different things, albeit they certainly are intertwined.
Why? Give me a percentage basis. What is the chances that something like that, where you have this kind of contagion, where it blows out through Greece into Italy, Portugal, and others? What percentage chance, in your view, is that of actually taking place? And what does that have to do with my 401k?
Okay, a couple big questions, I guess. Let me just say, I think if we keep our wits about us, the chances are nominal. Okay, and I think what the European community did last week to essentially show that 16 countries are working together to solve the problem adds some order and some structure. The actual physical components of what they've done provide $1 trillion in bank in backing, asking the banks to increase their capital. You know, the capital in European banks, Ted, is half of what it is in this country, and we're wondering whether we have enough capital, right? They're trying to increase the backstop there for banks and other European nations in case Greece does indeed go. And so they've put some structure in place to try and keep some order and some sanity even in spite of the fact that it's highly likely, if not absolutely certain, that Greece will default in some form or fashion. You know, maybe we're just arguing about how what we call it and how it happens. So I think the big thing about what happened yesterday with Papandreou is he just added a whole level of uncertainty, an element of doubt about the European community's ability to work together to solve the problem, and we hate chaos. And if Greece goes in an unorderly fashion, you know, what are you going to do with your money in a Greece bank when Greece pulls out of the European Union? You know, nobody's going to invest in Greece. The money that they owe, that the Greeks owe other countries, they're going to demand it immediately. It creates all kinds of liquidity problems throughout the Euro community, and those things sparks a big fire, you know?
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm concerned about, is that, you know, the Greek people have a tendency to want their cake and eat it too, as has been shown by their right. their budgets over the course of the last 30 years. And what I'm worried about is what you just described, which is, you know, suddenly the Greek government decides, look, we're not going to, you know, play this reindeer game anymore. We're pulling out. And then suddenly you're going to have this spark that, you know, brings down a lot of these European currencies. There is no European Fed.
Right.
There is no central bank for Europe.
Right.
How do we actually create that balance? And how do we create a tool for making sure that this thing doesn't blow?
Ted, you're speaking to the issue of counterparty risk. You know, you go back to the Lehman Brothers days and whatnot. If you owed me money and it was a matter of your credit worthiness, that's an issue between you and me. What helps is if you're backstopped by somebody else. What helps if I'm lending you money is if I know that if you're not good for it, somebody else will step in. That's what this trillion-dollar facility is in theory being put into place, is to provide that counterparty risk, the idea that if something bad happens with Greece, somebody else will be there to pick up the ball, so to speak. So we continue to do business in Europe. We continue to put deposits in Greek banks or other banks. The minute that gets blown up, the minute everybody starts to run for shelter and go their own way, and that's what creates the problem. So while they don't have a formal mechanism like we do in the U.S. to coordinate the activities of 50 states, you know, the 17 countries are trying to work together informally to do that. I think what they attempted to do last week was a step in that direction, but perhaps Papandreou, in the cavalier fashion in which he attempted to, you know, force the political issue, certainly undermined that process, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. Brian Kilb, thank you so much for taking the time.
Ted, good luck. We'll talk to you soon, huh?
Very good. Thank you very much.
You bet.
That was Brian Kilb. Brian is the Chief Operating Officer of Landis & Company.